If there still exists within the Congressional Black Caucus even an ounce of self-respect or respect for the black voters that put them in office, these black politicians will rethink their shameful record of groveling at the feet of Israel, the country that meddles far more than any other in the internal affairs of the United States. Certainly, the Israelis have no respect for the U.S. Congress, which they treat as a fat sugar daddy to be milked year after year for billions in aid and weapons and for support in world forums, no matter what crimes Israel commits. However, the Israelis may have finally stepped on the third rail of congressional relations with their joint decision with President Trump to bar two Democratic congresswomen, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, from entering Israel. The two had planned to visit the occupied West Bank, as do many congressional delegations. But Israel and Trump, the most pro-Israel president in U.S. history, decided to yank permission, citing Omar and Tlaib's support for the global boycott and disinvestment campaign against Israel, known as BDS. It is an extraordinary insult by Israel to the only friend it has in the world, especially since most Americans no longer consider Israel to be an ally of the United States. A poll taken late last year showed that only 37% of Americans think of Israel as an ally. Only 19% of blacks, less than one in five, see Israel as an ally. So where does Israel draw its popular support in the United States? According to the poll, it comes from Trump voters, 65% of whom believe that Israel is an ally. But two out of three Americans disagree, as do four out of five African Americans. Nevertheless, on any day of the year, some U.S. congressional delegation is touring Israel, the world's last apartheid state. 41 U.S. representatives were in Israel when it was announced that the two congresswomen had been blacklisted. We shall see if the U.S. Congress views this as Israel biting the hand that feeds it. But black voters, who are the constituency most sympathetic to the plight of Palestinians, should do a mass recall of the politicians that purport to represent them in Washington. Except for Ilhan Omar, the Muslim freshman representative from Minnesota, the whole of the Congressional Black Caucus is in thrall or in fear of Israel. When Israel was massacring 2,000 Palestinians in Gaza in 2014, the Congress unanimously passed a resolution supporting the Zionist state. Not even California's Barbara Lee voted against it. And just 2 weeks ago, when the House approved the outrageous bill condemning the Boycott Israel campaign, only six black lawmakers voted against it. The rest of the black caucus shamelessly kowtows to Israel's every wish, with no concern for the political sensibilities of their black constituents. Israel's blacklisting of the two congresswomen flies in the face of even the pro-Israel anti-boycott bill that Congress passed last month, which recognizes the right of American citizens to protest or criticize the policies of foreign governments. Apparently, that does not include Israel. Israel took the unprecedented action against Omar and Tlaib at the urging of President Trump. The Black Caucus likes to claim that it stands up to Trump, but it has never stood up to Israel. We shall see if there is any limit to the insults the Black Caucus will accept to stay on the good side of the Israel lobby. I'm Glenn Ford, Black Agenda Report, and this is listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI, New York.
Welcome to WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm Juliana Forlano. We are here in the morning. We're waking up show.
Still waking up.
We're still waking up.
Because I'm King Downing and I'm still waking up.
He's still waking up. He was here almost all night doing other shows. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to you about that. Hey, ICE is detaining nearly 9,000 immigrants who have passed an asylum test demonstrating fear of persecution if they are deported home. We'll talk about that. We're also speaking with Dean Baker from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He's going to talk to us about what this inverted bond yield curve means and how everyone is saying the sky is falling. All that and more here on the show. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the program. I'm Juliana Furlano. Hi, King. How's it going?
All right. Just running my mouth over here.
No, it's
dealing with some technical stuff.
Slight technical difficulty, which always excites the. It excites you, sort of.
Yes, when something technical happens. I'm just racing right now.
You gotta hit that. You were here last night.
Yeah. I had a chance to fill in for Sally O'Brien and the Where We Live crew doing their program, and last night the subject was the health of some of our political prisoners and how the prison system is denying them much needed medical care.
Well, yeah.
So that was pretty deep, and it was pretty late too.
So. Yeah. So I say we need a cot. Not for
thinking of finding a secret place to stretch out here, but then it would have been Juliana Furlano waking up King Downing.
Waking up King Downing. Good morning. Hello. In your pajamas. That would be great. We should have pajama day, like a casual. We're already pretty casual around here, so we should have
another
casuality day.
They're not Disney pajamas either.
No, it's 70 degrees outside right now, going up to 81. Going to be mostly cloudy today, as they say. Hey.
Let there be sound.
Let there be sound. We know you can hear us, but we can't hear any. We couldn't hear anything.
Couldn't hear anything.
Now we can. Thank you, for those of you, for sending the pledges to keep this place in business.
And thanks to Michael G for fixing the problem.
For fixing the problem. Anyway, the warmest day of the week is going to be this coming Monday, where it's going to be 91 degrees. So starting today, it's going to bump up by 3 to 5 degrees every day until we hit 91. No rain is in the forecast for today through the weekend. So it looks like it's going to be a good, beautiful weekend. I hope you are able to go out and enjoy it. What stories are you following? There are so many things happening right now. It's incredibly head-spinning. Glenn Ford from the Black Agenda Report just did his commentary on how Rashida Tlaib and Representative Omar were disinvited to Israel. What are the ramifications of this? What are the political ramifications of this? Oh, yeah, there's a lot to talk about on that front. We also have the Epstein issue. I'm surprised the coroner didn't get, you know, a talking to before he came out with the fact that...
Well, her name is Samson.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
She might have... We don't know what could have happened, but it's definitely getting very interesting.
Okay,
very
so interesting. What happened is they found, if you haven't heard, that, you know, there was a bone in the back of Epstein's neck that was crushed. That does not happen when a person hangs themselves. It only happens via strangulation. So now the apparent suicide is not so apparent anymore. It is now an apparent homicide.
Well, it just adds more controversy. Is this the time to roll into it?
Hit it.
So all of that time that I spent thinking about basketball during biology class and anatomy class, except for certain parts.
there's genitalia that really got me.
There's a bone called the hyoid bone, mm-hmm. which is in the neck area. And there's a lot of controversy around whether that has to be broken as a requirement for suicide. And so the theories have been...
if it's broken, then it's not suicide.
Well, if it's broken, it can be because mm-hmm. of the hanging. But it's less likely to happen in a suicide than it is in a homicide. Mm-hmm. And so there have been a few studies. There was a very small study in Thailand where only a quarter of the suicides had a broken hyoid, but that was only 20 victims, so that's not a very big one. Mm. And then there was a study in India of 260-some suicides, and there only 16 of the suicides had the broken hyoid bone. So that one points in the other direction towards it being less likely. So
that it was a suicide, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. We're all saying it's conspiracy theories, but it's real obvious that he was a powerful man who was in a position where he could talk and bring down, the whole capitalist structure, because I don't know if we're going to put up with, child abuse. We might. We're putting up with child abuse by putting them in cages, and that seems to be okay with the Trump administration. But maybe child sexual abuse is where we would draw the line. Hard to know. Hard to know where we are with our values here in the U.S. So another more will be revealed on that, I'm sure.
Now they got to take a look and see if there are any videos, unless those weren't working either, to see if somebody entered his cell or came down the hallway.
Oh, those happened to not be working.
Yeah,
they were taking. Yeah, they were all on video.
We were doing selfies of us snoozing.
Oh
in
no,
the
they were. What do you call that? They were like they were down for technical. Just happened to be down for like a half an hour. That was when they were going to do the repairs.
We will see.
Conjecture. So. We've decided, since King is so trained in his law practice.
Forced
to be trained in his law practice, that he refuses all conjecture. Whereas I say what I see, and that's then we find out if it works out.
It's a lot of fun. I like doing it.
No, that's good.
You'll hear it at some point in time.
There was also a report from Harriet Fraud, who, of course, was on our show earlier this week talking about the Epstein suicide, homicide, apparent death, let's say. He's definitely dead. As far as we know, no one's seen the body. So we could go that way. Anyway, we're not going off here, but I'm kind of teasing. But she said that there were also reports that other prisoners or other people being held in that facility heard screams at the time. So King and I had this fight. He's like still defending that he wasn't killed. I don't understand that. No, it seems so obvious that he was.
I don't know where you got that from.
Because we can't jump to that conclusion.
Hey, I will say that probably right now it's 50-50. How about that?
Oh, no.
It's
I would 50-50. Say that even before we had this bone crushing, it was like 80-20. I'm like, here comes the evidence. But here's the deal. If the evidence is sealed and locked, for sure. Let's say, you can never be 100% sure. Let's say there's eyewitnesses. Let's say there's camera footage. Let's say there's the crushed bone. Let's say there's all of that. What are we going to do with that?
Well, just think of the videos that have led to police not being indicted or convicted. So,
Yes, but
why would I believe my lying eyes?
Exactly.
Oh, here's another piece of this, too, is that suppose somebody went in there and they engineered his hanging of himself.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they put a sheet around his neck and they picked him up and they let him drop. So then it could still look like a suicide. So that's the other piece.
Got to check
it
his wrists. Were they tied? Yeah. Ah, there's so much going on here. Well, it's all very interesting, but the reality is, his death. Can he sue? Can his estate sue the state now, the federal prison system for wrongful death?
Sure.
Get more money.
Well,
from the taxpayer
for negligence.
Oh.
Most definitely.
Well, if he can get that money, then maybe the people who are then suing his estate for rape will then be able to, get that money, and then hopefully justice will be served here. I don't know. We'll find out. Doesn't often happen. Another point that's happening in the news, something that I don't want to miss, is that there's a big news story out, and I really want to draw attention to this before we go into our musical break and our guest, that ICE is detaining thousands of immigrants who have passed the test showing a fear of persecution or torture. So that is the asylum test. 9,000 who are detained by the authorities have passed that test. That's it. They should be let out. The Obama administration actually let out. This is a big difference. So we should say this is where we, the line is being drawn. The Obama administration did let out people who... It's a shift from his practices. He did let out people who cleared the bar for asylum. Now, the exact number is 8,969 detainees who had passed that credible fear or reasonable fear interview, which, ICE or the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services gives asylum seekers. That's the first step, by the way, that the asylum seekers take in this long process to prove persecution in their home country and gain protections here in the U.S. The issue here is that we have in detention 55,530 inmates in our, and I say our, facilities, because we are a country and this is happening on our soil. By the way, we only have the agency is funded to house only 42,000. So it's far surpassed that capacity with all of these people. Plus, it's holding 9,000 people that should be released. So there's no reason to hold them other than what?
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, or even stoking fears. So now, you know, the Trump administration slowly stokes fears, right? It's like, oh, we're taking these people. We're putting them in a jail. But they did something. They're breaking the law. They're coming over. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're not breaking the law. They have the right to asylum here. But we're still not going to let them out. That is, you know, a slow boiling. You know that statement about the frogs? If you throw a frog into a pot of boiling water, he jumps out. But if you throw a frog into... I hate the murder of frogs, by the way. Into cold water and then turn the boil on. He doesn't jump out, and then he just dies in the pot.
I'm still moved by the money part, too. I agree with that, that there's a lot of messaging there. But letting the people out would relieve them, let's say, at $200 a day, 9,000 people. That's almost $2 million a day going into the hands of, in some cases, private detention centers.
I've got, exactly.
Yeah.
And Warren said she wanted to close
detention
centers.
That's where I was going. That's it. Thank you. We think alike. Right.
We're fist bumping on the live stream. If you want to watch on the live stream on Twitch or on YouTube, we are fist bumping right now, which is awesome. I think the cost for the population is over $1 million, as they say, $1 million a day.
Mm-hmm.
A day that's coming out of my pocket. And it's not like these people are being treated well. I could see if they were being treated like, you know, with humanitarianism.
Like if they were being treated like people in the projects or something like that.
A little better. Yeah. Like that. Right. Oh, boy. Anyway, you're listening to Waking Up. I'm Juliana Forlano here in the studio.
King Downing waking up finally.
He's waking up. We are taking we'll be taking your calls. But we're in the second half of the show, but right now we are going to take our musical break and we'll come back with Dean Baker. He's going to talk to us about this inverted, you know, bond yield curve. What does this mean to me?
Yeah.
They say a recession is coming.
Yeah, we gloss over this stuff, but it really has something to do with our pockets. So
and
we ought to pay attention.
Everybody's totally crazy about it now. It's like the New York Times is talking about it. Everybody's talking about it.
Finally.
They love fear-mongering. How much is fear-mongering and how much is real? We're going to talk to Dean after this brief break. Stay with us. Was our beautiful Janelle Monae, a favorite of our assistant producer, Alana. You're listening to Waking Up. I'm Juliana Forlano in the studio with King Downing. So the recent news reports, the one we talked about yesterday, are warning of this impending recession. Now, people in the know who've been following what Trump is doing have predicted a recession this entire time because, you know, his economic policies can't possibly stand. But there's this thing out there, inverted bond yield curve, which has preceded all recessions in the past 50 years. If you don't know what that is, you're probably in the same position as almost everyone. That's why we have on today's show our returning guest, Dean Baker, co-founder of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, who is going to help us make sense of what this news coming out about the health of the economy is and what we should really be taking away from this news. His blog, Beat the Press, provides commentary on economic reporting. Dean, thanks for coming on the show today. It's very timely.
Hi, Julianna. Thanks for having me on.
So you, one of the great things that you do is you set us straight on the reporting around issues. You know, progressive hosts have been saying, listen, there's going to be a recession. We have to watch out. There's no way that Trump's policies are going to, not cause a recession. And now suddenly large media establishments, the Times, the Business News, all of those places are saying, oh, look out, there's been this indicator and here comes that big recession. Can you tell us where the truth lies?
Well, I've actually one of those I've been skeptical about whether we'll see a recession. The reality is the president's policies, good or bad, generally influence the economy more in the longer term than shorter term. And Trump's tax cut was bad policy. It did actually lead to a short-term spurt in growth. You throw a lot of money out there, even you give it all to rich people, some of that gets spent. So that actually had a small positive effect, and we saw that in the data. But the issue is longer term. What is he doing? His trade war, there were some legitimate issues on trade, which he actually did raise during his campaign. The currency issue, that was a legitimate one, that our dollar was overvalued, that made our exports, our goods, less competitive in the world economy. That was legitimate, but he's moved away from that. And more importantly, he's pursuing this in this utterly chaotic way, and that's really the big problem that has markets so rattled. So he's going, oh, I'm going to put these big tariffs on China. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. I'm mad at Mexico over immigration. I'm going to put tariffs on them. He's picking fights with Canada that everyone's scratching their head. What are you fighting with Canada over? That's what's caused the big problems with the economy, at least in the U.S., in the sense that companies are trying to plan investment, and it's very hard to do. Are we going to have a 10% tariff on China for the next who knows how long, 25%? Are they going to retaliate? Because almost any company that's manufacturing things in the U.S., they're importing goods from China as well as other countries. So they have to try to figure out what are these things going to cost. And that's extremely difficult in an environment where you have a president that basically haphazardly raises and lowers tariffs. So that's the most immediate problem. And in terms of the inverted yield curve, there is this correlation. When we've had this inverted yield curve, and I'll explain that in a second, we've generally seen a recession. But it's not a story of causation. So what an inverted yield curve is typically we expect, if I lend money for a longer period of time, I expect a higher interest rate. So if I get a 90-day certificate of deposit from my bank, I expect a fairly low interest rate. If I get a year-long one, I lock my money up for a year, I expect somewhat higher. If I get a 10-year bond, I expect a somewhat higher interest rate. So that's generally the story you see. If you lend money for a longer period of time, you expect a higher interest rate. The inversion is when you actually have a lower interest rate on a longer-term loan. And specifically what the markets were looking at was that a couple days ago, and I couldn't tell you what it is today, but a couple days ago, the interest rate on 10-year Treasury bonds was less than on two-year Treasury notes. So that was the idea of the inversion. You should see
so that basically says to you, after like 2 years or 90 days, things are going to get bad. That's the indicator, right?
Yeah. So what that's saying, you know, this is a market judgment. Markets are sometimes right, sometimes wrong. This is the market judgment that in the future we will be seeing lower short-term interest rates. Mm. So why would I accept the lower rate lend money at 10 years than for 2 years? Well, if I think that, 6 months out, interest rate on lending money for 2 years is actually going to be a lot lower than it is today. The markets are betting that interest rates will be lower, and then obvious next question, why would interest rates be lower, say, 6 months out? Well, they'd be lower because the economy looks weak and the Federal Reserve Board will lower interest rates. So I'd get
so
a
what
lower
you're saying is
rate.
Don't buy a house right now. Wait 6 months.
Well, that's actually a mixed story. I was talking to a reporter yesterday, and I said, well, you know, if you have a secure job, you know, so let's say we have a recession, but you have a pretty secure job. So odds are you work for the government. That's not always secure. But let's just for the moment say you have a secure job with the government. It might actually be a good time to buy a house because you get a very low interest rate, a very low mortgage. So, you know, mortgage rates have fallen quite a bit. 30-year mortgages, the average is about 3.9 now. So they're lower than they've been for quite some time. So it actually may not be a bad time to buy a house if you have a secure job situation. If your employment situation isn't secure.
Yeah, well, that's not a lot. That's not a lot of people have that, especially these days, the gig economy.
I recognize
of course,
that. But,
of course. We're speaking with Dean Baker. Dean, can you talk about, it's slightly confusing the way the media is handling this. They are being both alarmist, and we can count on the media to keep us frightened and keep us reading, et cetera. But then they are also tamping down the alarm. So they're ringing a bell and then saying, but really, you don't have to worry. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion and fairness to the media, and there's two bases for that confusion. One is we haven't seen a world like this. So recessions, I don't want to talk about recessions like they're a good thing. It's sort of like, oh, let's talk about traffic accidents. What do they look like? Well, they're a bad thing. But they followed a relatively predictable pattern. If you go back, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, when we got a recession, it was because inflation started to get high, the Fed raised interest rates, and that tanked home buying. I was just talking before about mortgages being cheap, good time to buy a home. Well, they'd raise interest rates a lot, so it tanked home buying, tanked car buying, and that gave us the recession. That was the basic story. And that was a fairly predictable pattern. But our last two recessions in 2001 was because of the crash of a stock bubble, and then even more severe in 2008, the collapse of the housing bubble. And we never really fully recovered, both our economy and perhaps even more so in Europe, never really fully recovered from that. And we're in this very strange world where you have negative interest rates in much of the world. I was just looking, if you wanted to lend money to the Swiss government, a 10-year Swiss government bond, you would be paying them 1% a year. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling. You want to lend us money? Okay, how much are you willing to pay us?
Zero.
so that's it's a strange world. So it's a very strange world that way. The other part is, you know, you have Donald Trump, who's completely unpredictable. And, you know, it's trying to foresee what this guy is going to do. He does something today. He does the opposite tomorrow. He goes, well, see what I'll do now. And it really is like a reality TV show. He's like trying to create suspense before the commercial. Well, that might be good for a reality TV show, but it's a really horrible way to run the economy.
So what do people take away? I mean, people who aren't going to buy a house or who don't have treasury bonds, maybe people who are struggling right now. What's the takeaway? How do people protect themselves from the onslaught?
Well, I mean, there aren't, you know, the problem, it's always the story. The people at the bottom get hurt the most. So, you know, you could tell things if someone's got, you know, $100,000 401k, you know, you could tell them, well, diversify it, put some of it in bonds, some in the bank. You know, you could tell them most people have $400,000 401k. So what do? There's not a good story. I mean, I know most people are struggling to get by, make their bills every month, and what are they supposed to do if we go into a recession? Well, there's not a good story. I mean, I guess the one thing I would say, I'm very, very hesitant to say this, but, you know, if you have a relatively secure job and you're thinking, well, your boss is a jerk, you'd really like to find a better employment situation, if it's a secure job, you may want to hang on to that. I'm reluctant to say that because I'd love to see people be able to tell their, you know, if they have a boss who's a jerk, be able to tell them to go to hell and go work somewhere else. But, you know, if it's a secure job, you probably don't want to give that up right now.
I wanted to ask you whether there's a connection between the question I'm about to raise and what you've been talking about here. And that is that there are some financial experts who have been saying that the economy has been seriously hurt by corporations tying up a lot of money that should be in circulation by buying back their own stock. Can you comment on that?
Well, the big issue here is that they're not investing a lot. So this was an issue even before Trump's tax cut,
right,
that we hadn't seen the surge in investment, because the conventional story is supposed to be that when interest rates get low, then companies invest. Now, I was always skeptical of that because the evidence for that is actually fairly weak, but that's kind of the textbook economic story. So they weren't investing a lot. Whether they pay it out as buybacks to shareholders, they pay it out as dividends, which they used to do more frequently, that doesn't make that much difference. The big issue is that they're simply not investing. And that, of course, got worse with the tax cut because, again, if you talk to the Trump people, why did you do a big tax cut to corporations? They didn't need the money. Well, their answer is, well, we wanted to give them incentives to invest. Well, okay, you did that. They're not investing. Investment's actually down a little bit year over year. So that's the big problem. I mean, what you would have liked to have seen, again, I don't know if anyone really believed the Trump story, but that was supposed to be, okay, we'll give them this big tax cut, and then we're going to see this huge investment boom.
But isn't
we're not
it,
seeing that.
But isn't it true that if they're taking that money and they're using that money to buy their stock, then the profits for those stock sales are going to people who are affluent, and that money is not going into the economy for investment. It's also not going to workers for wages.
Yeah, but I don't think the alternative, as I say, I think if they had investments, they would make them. So if they're not making the investment, it doesn't matter too much. I mean, it'd be great if they paid out in wages. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'd love to see workers get higher pay. But I think their alternatives, if they didn't pay it out as shareholders as buybacks, they pay it out in dividends, or they could just sit on it, which they were sitting on a lot of money if you go back 2 or 3 years. In all three of those situations, it's not helping the economy. Mm. So whether it's dividends, buybacks, or they just sit on it, you know, as General Electric or Microsoft or whoever, it doesn't make too much difference to the rest of us.
We're speaking with Dean Baker. Dean, you have recent columns out about automation. We're unfortunately at the end of our segment, but we hope you'll come back on and talk about that with us, because that is all over the media. And you say that there's some really misleading tropes in the media around that. But if you want to get on there and read what Dean has written before we're able to have him back in 2 weeks, he's a regular guest here on a Friday, you can go to Beat the Press. Dean, thank you so much for being on our show. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
It's wonderful to have you on, because I need people to explain this. We have a lot of different kinds of economists on. We have the kind, we have Dr. Melvo, and we have Richard Wolff, and we have the kind that talk about theory, some talk about specifics. It's wonderful to be able to have this kind of conversation.
What do you think would happen if we got them all in the room at the same time?
It would be good. It would be a good panel. It would be,
I don't know.
It would be expensive because Dean lives on the other side of the country. Hey, thanks very much for listening. We have a musical break. You're listening to Waking Up. And after that, we will return with a little green news report and some other interesting things, as well as we'll be taking your calls. So if you have something to say, you can get on the horn right now, 212-209-2877, and we'll intersperse your calls into the rest of the show. Try to keep your comments on what is happening in the world today. What stories are you following? What do you think is very important today? 212-209-2877. It is Friday. Yeah.
Finally.
Long week.
I know. Long week.
Do you know we talked at the beginning of this week with Harriet? Doesn't that seem like
eons ago?
A long, long time ago. We'll be right back. Rich girl, and you're gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far. Awesome. Rich girl. Alana's been picking out songs that go along with our topics, so she knew we were talking economy today.
And we were talking about girls, too.
And girls, did we? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's 71 degrees outside. 81 is the high for today. It's mostly cloudy for the next few days. It's pretty much the same weather report, just going up by a few degrees a day until we get to Monday, when it's supposed to be 91 and hot again. So there's that. Enjoy it while it's here. The weekend looks good. As I said, we're opening up our phone lines, 212-209-2877, if you want to make a comment on what we've been talking about, or if you want to talk about what's important to you today. Caller, you are on the air. Your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, my name is Glenn. I'm calling from Manhattan.
Hey, Glenn. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Hey. I'm a Democrat, and I voted for Clinton, but I got to tell you, I'm in construction industry, and the job market is tight, and I'm getting like almost twice, you know, the amount of money per hour that I got like 4 years ago, And, you know, it's just a lot of people that I know in New York City, you know, they're doing fantastic. I mean, the job market is very tight, and, you know, people are getting paid like even non-union, you know, $50, close to $50. So I'm hearing that a lot of people, you know, they're doing well. They don't care who's in power. As long as they're making, you know, as long as they're doing well, as long as they're getting paid $50 an hour, you know, it doesn't involve me, you know.
Yes, and, Glenn. Gotcha.
And I think that's what happened in Reagan, you know, 80, 81,
that's
82.
A kind of short-term non-group mentality.
Well,
that's a slight problem.
Yeah, but you don't understand. You know, a lot of people out there painting, you know, this is a bifurcated economy. You have the wealthy, I mean, the well-educated making, you know, PhDs, MDs, you know, specialized, making over, you know, $130,000. And then you have nothing in the middle. And then you have the low-end jobs. And guess what? A lot of people have no choice. So
no choice for what? What do you mean?
As far as job opportunities, there's only two kinds these days. You got the
low
skill.
No, I hear you. Exactly. That's due to trade.
So I've never seen this type of economy. I've never seen people, instead of being paid $28, now pay $50.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's interesting. Glenn, I appreciate that.
Great.
But I it's great.
I mean,
yeah,
you
everybody.
Can't appreciate that.
Everybody.
You can't appreciate that.
Well, yeah, we can appreciate it. And I would like to hear from other union workers on whether they're getting paid twice as much and they are in a tight market. I'm not exactly sure. I'm taking you at your word, Glenn. I appreciate your call. And you are, you know, your opinion is on the record. I don't think that's reason enough to vote for Trump. You're getting paid $50 an hour to cage children. Everything is connected. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there were two things I want to add to that, and that there's been a real issue. I see the construction workers all over the place. I don't see very many people of color except in the support positions on the jobs where the big inflated rat is, who we covered at one point in time.
We love the rat.
But the thing to point out is that these construction workers are building luxury speculative housing.
Yeah,
and so there's plenty of money for them because these skyscrapers are going up everywhere. Hey, I'm glad you have your job. But I think if moderate housing was being built, then I think that everyone would be raised up because people would have places to live. The rents wouldn't be too damn high. And then other people could probably join the economy, even if they don't have jobs, by paying less than 60 or 70% for rent.
Yeah, it's not like I don't want people to get a good salary or an even better salary, but this is unsustainable and you will see that. And I mean, we have a real estate president. So of course, real estate and construction work is going to go up under that president. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see. But thanks for the call, Glenn. I appreciate it. I, of course, feel good when I'm making money for my family and happy. But we got to, you know. I mean, the Democrats want to build a whole new infrastructure, right? They want to build a Green New Deal. I do believe there will be jobs in construction around a Green New Deal and lots of good union jobs. So the fear is unfounded, I believe, that if we vote for someone else, you know, there's not going to be any work. That's just me. Our phone lines are open, 212-209-2877. I do want to tell you about something that's happening here in town as we continue our conversation today. So check it out. Earthstrike New York City, Sustaining All Life and United to End Racism. That group, those groups are getting together to build and sustain a strong environmental movement, they say they have to, you know, we people need a place to share about the impact of the climate emergency on themselves, on their, you know, their families. And they need to talk about the discouragement that people are feeling around taking action. We need to support to maintain and build connections with each other and to address these difficulties together. And the groups are saying that they need a place to heal from the effects of our oppressive societies. Join Earth Strike to do this, along with these other groups, Sustaining All Life and United to End Racism. They're teaching approaches used by Sustaining All Life and United to End Racism to heal the damage of oppression, increase activism and effectiveness in the climate justice movement, and prevent burnout. Burnout is a big deal, especially right now. People are saying, oh, what's the use? I'm tired, unless you're young.
Feel the burnout.
Good one, man. Hear from, you can go to this event and hear from people who use all these great tools to prevent burnout. These tools are effective at reaching your goals for a sustainable future. And this is happening Sunday from 1 to 3 at the May Day Space. It's obviously free Sunday again this week, 1 to 3 p.m. at May Day Space, which is 176 St. Nicholas Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. That sounds pretty great to me. And it's a good idea because fighting burnout is super duper important. And, you know, if you're an activist, you're probably not like, you know, I've been on my Zen pillow and I feel really good about everything. And now I'm going to just make a call. No. You found out that your drinking water has lead in it. That's what makes people usually make a call. And we're going to listen now to the Green News Report, which is going to tell us every reason that we need to get off our pillows and take action and also be supported in that action. Here it is.
Okay, Desi Doyen, I really want to know what the one energy project is that Donald Trump's against, but you're going to save that for the end, aren't you?
Yes, of course.
Uh-huh.
But first, the Trump Interior Department on Monday unveiled sweeping, fundamental changes to the nation's Endangered Species Act, significantly weakening the landmark 1973 law that saved the American bald eagle and hundreds of other U.S. species from extinction. In a statement, Interior Secretary David Bernhardt said the changes were needed to improve efficiency of enforcing the law while still protecting species, but critics say they clear the way for new mining, drilling, and logging in critical habitats.
Not critics. Actually, people who know what they're talking about.
Indeed. Among several changes, the new rules end blanket protections for species newly listed as threatened, making it easier to remove them. New language allows federal officials to disregard the impacts of climate change on wildlife now and in the future, despite its growing threat to many species like polar bears in the melting Arctic. And for the first time ever, officials will be allowed to conduct an economic cost-benefit analysis, effectively putting a price tag on whether saving a particular animal is worth the potential loss to industry, for example, despite long-standing language that prohibits consideration of economic factors.
But they can do it now?
Yes, they can.
Well, these corporations are making record profits. That doesn't mean they can't make even larger record profits now on the back of dead extinct species.
Several state attorneys general and conservation groups vowed on Monday to sue to stop the new rules. The Center for Biological Diversity in a statement said, quote, these changes crash a bulldozer through the Endangered Species Act's life-saving protections for America's most vulnerable wildlife. For animals like wolverines and monarch butterflies, this could be the beginning of the end. The changes come on the heels of a dire UN report in May warning that humans are driving 1 million plant and animal species to extinction, with alarming implications for humanity's survival. Administrations come and go, but extinction is forever.
Yeah, but corporate profits aren't going to grow themselves.
A similar rejection of science is behind a Trump EPA scheme to pave the way for the controversial proposed Pebble Mine to proceed in the pristine watershed of Bristol Bay, Alaska, home to the world's largest salmon fishery. CNN reports that that decision was made just days after Alaska's Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy met with President Trump, resulting in EPA political appointees ignoring scientists in order to withdraw an Obama-era scientific determination prediction that the mine would cause complete and irreversible loss of fish habitat. Former Bush EPA Administrator Christine Todd Whitman,
a Republican,
warns the effects will be widespread.
One of the most troubling things about this administration on the environmental side is this disregard of science. They're gutting science across the agencies, across the departments, across the government.
In other news, environmental groups have filed suit to stop the Trump EPA from lifting restrictions on feedlots that require the facilities to report the toxic air pollution that they emit from animal waste. The Trump Department of Transportation has announced it will reduce fines and penalties for automakers whose vehicles fail to meet federal mileage standards. And finally, here we are. There is one type of energy project the Interior Department wants to slow down, the nation's first major offshore wind farm. Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt has indefinitely delayed a final environmental review for the Vineyard Wind Project off the coast of Massachusetts. That's in order to consider the potential impact on commercial fishing in the area. It is a setback that could doom the project.
And is there really a concern about commercial fishing in the area?
Not any more than there would be from, say, an offshore drilling spill.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide while it's still here on the Facebooks and the Twitters. At Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Thanks, Brad and Desi. I'm Juliana Forlano here in the studio with King Downing. You're listening to Waking Up. If that didn't give you a reason to go to that May Day space on Sunday from 1 to 3, that's a good reason if you can go. 176 St. Nicholas Avenue. I really like the way that they are doing the intersection of racism and environmentalism and just the attitude that they're going about it. We're coming here to support each other, so that we don't have burnout. Let's talk about strategies that work to affect change in this era, which is a little different than, let's putting it mildly, than some other eras. You know, there's other great stuff going on here in the city, and I do want to report on that. There is a back-to-school block party and cultural fair, by the way. SOMOS. SOMOS, a nonprofit physician-led network of over 2,500 physicians who serve 7,000 patients in New York's lower-income, immigrant-rich communities, is joining up with Catholic Charities of New York and the Can you say this one? Alianza? I don't speak Spanish. I wish I did, and I don't want to Italianize it.
Alianza Dominicana Cultural Center.
That's not
Spanish. I know the org. That's
okay, that's why I said I knew you would.
Yeah.
They're hosting a back-to-school block party and cultural fair. Hundreds of students and their families are going to get together in Upper Manhattan to receive free people, free health screenings, free lunch boxes with fresh produce in it, and partake in a back-to-school celebration. There's going to be live entertainment, carnival games, raffles, giveaways, food demonstrations, and more. Get Focused will also host an innovative book fair where kids can win free books by doing fitness activities and challenges and stuff like that. That is today, starting soon, 11 a.m., so get it together and get on over there. It's at Audubon Avenue between 165th and 166th. And we have one of the organizers with us. Hi there. Thanks for joining us on the program. I appreciate it. Are you there?
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Tapia, and I am part of SOMOS.
SOMOS. Can you
and
tell
we
us?
We would like to invite everyone in the community to come to our great fair.
Talk about why this is important.
Talk about party.
Talk about why this is important for kids who are going back to school and their parents.
It is important because we have several prominent organizations that are joining us to celebrate and to help our children return back to school very happily. We count on SOMOS, which is an organization of doctors, community doctors that have always been in our communities. And we have more than 2,500 doctors and over 700,000 patients that we serve.
It's wonderful. And who's funding the event?
SOMOS Health, which is a group of more than 2,500 physicians.
Right.
We also have Alianza Dominicana, which has been in the community for many years, and the Catholic Charity Centers.
And what can people expect around 11? I said that there's going to be demonstrations and carnival games and things like that. Talk a little bit more about what's going to be there.
Yes, we are going to have health screening for everyone. And don't forget that we're going to have free lunch boxes for every child that attends the fair. Mm. And plus, we are going to have fresh produce, and we're going to have classes of how to prepare these healthy foods in a healthy and fun way.
That's great. Health screenings are just for the children or for the adults too?
Excuse me?
Are the health screenings for children only or for adults too?
No, for every participant of the fair.
Free health
and
screening.
Depending
people.
On their age, we will do appropriate screenings.
Excellent. So it is.
We will also have games, very fun games for the entire family. We are going to have a health fair with free books.
Oh, for great. Kids. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for telling us about that. And I appreciate you sending us the information so we could give it to our listeners. Again, it is today from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yes, it is today starting at 10 o'clock.
Oh, 10 o'clock. I have 11
heart
o'clock.
Heart of Washington Heights.
Fabulous.
On Audubon Avenue and 165th Street.
So 10 o'clock between 10 and 2. Oh, that's good. That's sooner. Audubon
great.
Avenue between 165th
and 165th. We want all our community to be there.
I know we're having a little problem with our phones overlapping each other, so but I appreciate you coming on and talking about this, and I hope the community will come out and take advantage of the event that you have put together to support the families with children going back to school in the next couple of days or weeks. It's closing in. It's back to school time. I can't believe it already. Thanks again. I appreciate
it. It is still time to enjoy the summer, but we also have to get ready to go back to school.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the program. Audubon Ave between 165 and 166th Street, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Free health screenings for kids and adults. Thanks so much. You're listening to Waking Up. I'm Juliana Forlano. We got phone calls coming in, but we also have our On the Ground hostess coming on the show to talk about what's going on at 5 p.m. Oh, boy. Are we getting ready for back to school?
I think it's that time. That there's a certain kind of energy because, you know, a lot of things are sort of geared to that. You know, businesses, people come back. And so it's school time is also work time and also activism time.
It's activism time. And you know, maybe the Congress will come back and start doing their jobs again. They're coming off break one of these days. That'll be nice. Although there's so much news with them on break that it's, when they're in session, there's even more going on. Hopefully they might be able to, push forward this impeachment push that's happening. Oh, we've got a majority now in the House that wants impeachment. That's all we need. Am I wrong? I am not.
As long as they take Pence with them.
Yeah, and they could take a whole bunch of people. I don't know if Pence is going to push the button. And Trump, I feel like any day he might actually push the button. It's scary.
Beware of Pence, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
He pushed the button, but he wouldn't be tweeting about it.
Oh, yeah. At least Trump would be like, I'm about to push this button.
Yeah.
It's a great button. It's the best button you've ever seen. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be the biggest bomb ever.
You're going to love it.
Oh, God. I'm getting sick just making this joke. Anyway, you're listening to Waking Up. We have Esther Ibram on the program. Esther, tell us what's happening on the ground today at 5 p.m. on WBAI.
Well, I am hard at work and trying to reprise my interview with Gerald Horn about 1619. This, whether it's today, August 20th, August 16th, August 20th, around this time marks the actual anniversary of the arrival of African Americans in the English colony of Jamestown. Mm. And so this year has been this commemoration of that time. So I am trying to rebroadcast that and to, you know, bring out some of the really fascinating information he has there. But just looking at other anniversaries, it's the five years since Mike Brown was shot in Ferguson. And looking at, I know, the movement here. I know there was a tremendous movement in New York around Eric Garner. And also 1 year since 44 people were killed with a U.S. bomb. Mm. A U.S. bomb struck a school bus in Yemen. And activists.
Terrible anniversaries. I hope we have some decent ones too. But these are good to look at. We don't want to forget our history, lest we repeat it.
Yeah. So I'm looking at anniversaries. Looking at August, some activists are commemorating what they call Black August.
Right.
And they're looking at it's a political prisoner movement around looking at the deaths of George and Jonathan Jackson, and just really, you know, other important birthdays and dates in August. So
That sounds fantastic.
That's what we're doing on the ground.
I hear in your voice the, I'm producing a show in 5 hours. You know, I hear that in your voice. I got to get it together. And I hear you. I live that also. And also, I wake up and I'm like, well, I guess it's done. I hope nothing happened since last night because I checked just to make sure. I want to bring up the update information to people, but I recognize that tone. And I'm sure if history is a guide, that On the Ground is going to be awesome by the time 5 o'clock turns around. So you can listen here on WBAI. Thanks for being on the program and thanks for telling us. I look forward to hearing the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love having you every week. It's great. It's great. I'm happy to be on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. We have callers on the line. Do we have a minute to take one? I don't know. We'll take one real quick. Caller, you are on the air. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Hello? Okay. Hello, caller. Your name and where you're calling from. And mind you, we have about 1 minute. Okay, we'll just fill the minute with dead air. We have like all these callers coming in. All the lines are lighting up, and I guess everyone, maybe something's going on. Caller, you are on the air. Your name and where you're calling from. Are you there? No,
that's it.
Nope. Three different calls. Maybe they're doing like a silent vigil.
Now they're lighting
up. For the end of the show.
Yeah. Now they're lighting up.
We're all done. Hey, next week we'll be back with all our great talk and fun times and our sound effects board. Don't forget, we still have the board with us. I'm very excited. I think on Monday, Dr. Malveaux is coming on.
Good.
That's
good.
Always a fun Monday. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy that 80-degree weather because it's going up to hot on Monday. But today should be fabulous. King, final thoughts?
Hey, I just want everybody to have a good weekend. That's all.
Yeah.
I am.
What are you doing?
Absolutely nothing. Say it again. No, I got some stuff in the works.
Have a great one.
All right.
Check for Cat Radio Cafe.
Testing.
Testing.
Stay tuned for Cat Radio Cafe Sunday night at 11 on WBAI.
I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
The displaced playwright on Sunday, August 18th, documentary filmmaker Roberto Minervini returns to discuss his film work, this time on marginalized black and white communities of the American South.
And in the next hour of Cat Radio Cafe,
a panel on fun.
Sunday night at 11 on WBAI, Cat Radio Cafe.
And remember our slogan.
Do cats have any fun?
Just enough.
Like many of you, like many Americans, I have felt frustrated and betrayed by the state of the mainstream media in this country, a media whose priorities seem out of step with their responsibilities. We need a media that strengthens democracy, not a media that strengthens the government. We need a media that enriches public discourse, not one that enriches corporations.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
Hello. This is Mike Pinder, co-founder of the Moody Blues. You're listening to WBAI, New York.
And you're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI, and